Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul Barkish.
I like this kind of party.
The Score senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Analyzing the Bears and the NFL.
This was an ongoing conversation at Hallis Hall for literally a couple months.
Hub Barkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Hub Arcus joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hub is on Twitter at Hub_Arkush. Pro Football Weekly, the Ameristar pregame and Bears postgame. And here he is. It's a special time because it's Tuesday. We had to change some things around because
we're on a short
of the
week.
Holiday understanding. We're on a short week. Bears are also on a short week. And the remind us again, Hub, the injury report yesterday that came out as far as availability for practice is if there had been a practice, correct?
No, there was a practice.
Oh, okay.
They changed the schedule. They actually practiced. Matt talked late in the afternoon, and they went out and practiced about 4 o'clock.
So we are told that there are two of their receivers, Ben Broniker and Taylor Gabriel, are in concussion protocol. I don't know if that's just by the letter of the law that there is still a possibility they could play, but that changes things if those guys are out.
Well, it certainly does. And again, the fact that they're in the protocol doesn't mean that they're not close to being cleared. There's no certainty as to what's going to happen Thursday. It's certainly not promising if they can't practice Monday, but we'll see what happens today. If neither one of them practices today, then I would assume they're not going to play on Thursday. Actually the Taylor Gabriel, and not that he hasn't been a factor, but it could almost be an opportunity because, Anthony Miller has started to emerge a little bit. Allen Robinson is your number one. And if Gabriel was unable to go, maybe they'd give a jersey to Riley Ridley, who everybody's been waiting to see. Certainly Javon Wims would have a chance to get some more targets. With Broniker, you'd hate to be without him. But J.P. Holtz has been playing most of the Y tight end. They did bring up Jesper Horsted, so probably miss Broniker a little bit less than they might miss Gabriel.
Hub, to your mind, what has the process of unlocking Anthony Miller within this offense been this whole year? What's led up to this? How did they finally get there?
Well, nobody wants to come out and say it, Connor, but I think that the kid is a young man has struggled with the playbook. I think he has struggled with his routes. I think he has struggled with his focus and concentration, and all of those things led to occasionally not being where you're supposed to be and occasionally being a little more emotional than you need to be. And they don't want to take that fire, that emotion out of him. But you can only get away with that when you're doing all the right things, the rest of the time. And as I said, nobody wants to come out and put their name on it. But there was an allusion to the possibility a couple of weeks ago that he was doing better, in the route running and understanding the scheme and where he needs to be. And I think we've seen that in his production in the last couple of weeks.
Roquan Smith looks like he followed up one solid performance with another one, and that's very encouraging to know that first-round pick could be and seems to be back on track.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Dan. I guess where I would caution people, though, is that there's a perception that maybe he's played a little better than he has the last couple of weeks. He certainly has been more active, and he certainly has been around the football more and made more plays. But if you look back at last Sunday, I think that a couple defensive backs were the leading tacklers. And so it is good to see Roquan getting back to where he was at the start of the season. But I think he's got some work to do. And the one thing, now I can't swear to this, but we talk about it every Sunday with Olin and Patrick and Big Cat, and everybody's seeing the same thing. He looks just a little slimmer to us, a little smaller. This was a guy who was small to begin with. And I don't know if whatever's gone on with him, if he hasn't maybe lost a little bit of strength. I'm not saying he has, but you see, plays where sometimes we're tackled for loss or a stop dead in his tracks, where now he's getting dragged a little bit. So there's more work to do. But the first part was just to get him back to where he was always around the ball and being more aggressive. And you're absolutely correct about that.
Bobby Massey's got an ankle. That offensive line has been, well, it's a conversation we've all had for weeks now, but how do they put their best five out there with or without Bobby Massey?
Well, it's problematic without him. Cornelius Lucas is next man up, and he's going to go over to that right tackle spot. But remember, he's been playing a lot of that second tight end and some of the 12 and 22 personnel, too. So I would assume that would be Alex Bars would be the next man up, just looking at the bodies on the roster. More likely they would try and get him some reps at that second tight end spot. I don't think they'd want to try him at right tackle. They tried him at left tackle in that fourth exhibition game, and he looked pretty good. If Massey does go, then you've got your starting five out there, and then I think they continue with what they've been doing. Bradley Sowell has had a really tough time either staying on the roster or getting a jersey when he's been on the roster, but he as the second tight end becomes the option. He's lost so much weight that you really couldn't put him back at tackle.
What are you hearing about the typical Tuesday workouts that the Bears and all NFL teams go through? Because I'm wondering if the Bears couldn't use more roster churn at this point, more opportunities to get free looks at guys. The Seahawks have done this, and other good teams have just decided, you know what, we're gonna flip some guys around. Like you mentioned, Bradley Sowell, and it's been Sowell and Vaughters, and they've just sort of been exchanging their spots on the practice squad. Are they going to be a little bit more aggressive in trying to see guys, or are they just doing that and we're just not hearing the names?
I think there's probably been some players in for workouts that just haven't been reported because they're somewhat unknown. They're also into this weird schedule now where this week and next week, right, they don't get their Tuesdays. With Sowell, there's no mystery to this because he's a vested veteran. When he was on the roster the first day of the season, his salary was guaranteed for the year. So in essence, it cost them nothing to move him on and off the roster. Vaughters as a rookie is a little different. But again, basically getting paid the same thing. I don't think it's a financial issue so much as, who's out there, who do you want to take a look at? They did add a running back to the practice squad last week, who obviously was in on Tuesday. I think they've added another offensive lineman. So they're bringing some players in. Whether they need to do more of it, I couldn't really say. I do know that they're not bringing many veterans in. They're continuing to mine for these undrafted free agents or players that were drafted but for a year or two have not made a roster. They tend to focus more on the youngsters than they do on bringing in any veterans.
On the Lions side of things, Jeff Driskel, their quarterback, who's in for Matthew Stafford, is on the injury report with a hamstring issue. So I wonder, at what level of replacement nobody is David Blau? Is he like a Ryan Lindley, or are we talking John Skelton?
I couldn't give you the comp on that one, Connor. I don't know. He's obviously not exactly a household name and probably not likely to emerge as the next Kurt Warner. We'll just have to wait and see. I thought it was interesting that they listed Driskel with limited participation yesterday. And so, with a hamstring, you're either participating or you're not, My guess would be that maybe Driskel is going to be okay to go, probably not 100%. And if not, nobody knows what to make of a David Blau. You go out there and you see what the kid can do.
Where are we in assessing the run game? I keep asking this question because it's maddening to me that the teams in this league should be better at running the ball than the Bears are. There shouldn't be this much in the backfield contact consistently every time. And I don't know if there's – I'm not asking for some magical play to be drawn up, but if they can find one thing they can consistently try to do well and just do it more often.
Dan, it's absolutely my biggest frustration with this football team because we've been talking about this since the middle of last season, and they did start to run the ball a little bit better in terms of quantity the second half of the year last year, and Jordan Howard got close to 1,000 yards, but because his average was down to 3.7, they decided to move on and get somebody who, quote, fit the system better, and they didn't just move on from Jordan Howard. They moved on from Jordan Howard. They moved on from Benny Cunningham. They brought in basically three new backs when you look at David Montgomery, And, of course, Mike Davis, who's gone already, Kareth White, who's gone already, who, by the way, I'm guessing some of our listeners noticed, had 42 yards on six carries for the Steelers Sunday, including a 21-yarder. And I'm not saying the Bears made a mistake there, but that's always frustrating when you see something mm-hmm. like that. And so it's just, you know, it was a complete commitment during the off season to redo the running back room and to redo the running game. And Matt Nagy brought up about midseason, a little after last year, that they needed to look at the scheme and the coaching and make sure the coaches were getting this right. He brought that up again, like week 15, week 16. We're now into week 13 this year and battling the same problem. And I don't have a good answer for you. This offensive line is not that bad. It's not the best offensive line in football, but it's not like they're incompetent or incapable. I've seen much worse groups. And so it's got to have something to do with the scheme and the design of the running game. I don't think it's even the play calling, although we see things. You know, you go back 2 weeks ago on the Rams game, and you got a quarterback out there with a hip pointer, and on third and one, you're calling an option pitch wide. You know, it was a horrible call for that moment. And then you come back to this week, and you've got third and one, so you drop David Montgomery 6 yards deep in the backfield, and you run a counter play where he jab steps in the wrong direction before even coming towards the line of scrimmage. I mean, these are things that you would think you wouldn't do. You know, in short yardage, you want to attack the point of attack the line as quickly as possible, not run delays and counters and tricks. So it's kind of all of the above. I don't know what to make of David Montgomery yet. I'm not ready to quit on him by any means. He's shown some flashes. I don't think he's missing a lot of openings. I don't think they're giving him much. I think they need to upgrade the offensive line, but I think they should be able to run better with what they already have. It's not the play calling constantly. I mean, there's a few isolated situations that we can point out. So I come back to scheme, you know, and as much as Matt Nagy is here because he's an offensive specialist and because he knows how to run a high scoring, high flying passing game with a lot of run pass options, as far as not options, but straight running plays, I really think they're going to have to spend this offseason rethinking what they're doing there. Owen made the point on Sunday, you know, just because you've gone from being a power running team under the previous regimes to a zone read team, there are still some power run plays within a zone read scheme. And we don't see them from the Bears. I mean, this awful record on third and short, third and one. And I don't think I've seen them run a wham play, which is basically with one or two double teams at a certain point. I don't think I've ever seen them do that. You know, and that's what most teams do in those short yardage situations. So I think this is a case where they got to reevaluate what that playbook looks like and then work from there.
And members of Wham. We'll have more with Hub coming your way. We got to get to some NFL stuff. We apparently, in the betting markets, have a new Super Bowl favorite. And we could talk about their performance last night and what we're learning about what's going on around the league. More Bears to come as well, so don't go anywhere. The wisdom of Hub will be yours. And a special programming announcement will be right after a brief timeout. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Talking football with Hub Arkish. We're on a short week as well. Everybody's on a short week. It's all very, very strange. And I mentioned we had a brief programming announcement.
Yes.
I just want to let you know, and I'm largely doing this in to assuage my own anxiety regarding having 27 people over for Thanksgiving.
That's what the show's here for.
Yeah, yeah, we're good at these on this show. We're going to do a Wednesday Fung tomorrow at 10:20. Thanks, but no Thanksgiving. Your horror stories.
Yes.
It might be the exploding turkey fryer.
Could
it
be
could
that.
Be, you know, Uncle Ed dead on the porch or whatever it might
could
be.
Could be that. Doesn't have to be that. Could know, be that.
Set on fire, murder and mayhem. We want to hear absolutely all of it tomorrow at 10:20. If you want to email it in, you can. Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You want to send it via Twitter, a link to some essay that way, you can do that too. However you want, we want you here with us 10:20 tomorrow, Wednesday Fung, thanks but no Thanksgiving. Hub Arkish is talking NFL with us. That was quite a performance last night from the Baltimore Ravens, and we wake up this morning to a new betting market Super Bowl favorite, Hub.
The first time I deep fried the turkey, I did it in the garage, and I did the most gorgeous 22-pounder you've ever seen. And trying to get it out of the deep fryer, I dropped it on the garage floor. 10-second rule, and nobody knows to this day until just now.
Nice. So,
there you go.
Nice.
Yeah, they didn't need to know.
Oh, I didn't have any choice. I don't know. You know, it was about 8-9 years ago, maybe even longer. I don't know. And I cleaned it up a little bit. So, listen, guys, at some point, I guess I got to jump on the Ravens bandwagon. I still don't trust that defense. I still don't know what happens if they get down by 10 points or 2 touchdowns. But at the end of the day, Lamar Jackson is having the season this year that Patrick Mahomes had last year. Unless there is a complete collapse, I suspect he's the MVP. I don't see them getting to the Super Bowl because I don't trust that defense, and we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But they're obviously one of the three or four best teams in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, if the conversation is, I don't know what happens when you get down by 2 scores, 10 points or 2 scores, I'd point to the Patriots and ask maybe the same question given how their offense has performed. And really, if you're looking at the AFC, the Chiefs, with what I assume would be a healthier Patrick Mahomes, is the team that answers that question with the thumbs up.
Well, as far as getting down, yeah, but the problem is that they tend to stay down because their defense is so awful.
No doubt about it.
That's why I keep coming back to the Patriots, guys. I look at Tom Brady has 15 touchdown passes through 11 weeks. That's like unheard of. His quarterback rating is 88.8, but they're still the Patriots. And the way they're playing defense, and that game, you know, the Ravens beat them impressively, but it was in Baltimore. They had 1-8. The Patriots had 1-8 straight. You know, a lot of things came into that. If Baltimore has to go to New England for the AFC title game, I would worry about, you know, what Bill Belichick would do to Lamar Jackson, even though he didn't do it the first time around. If ever there was a year for the NFC to win the Super Bowl, it's got to be this year because there's two or three teams in the NFC that, to me, at least, are more well-rounded that I trust more than I do in the AFC.
Niners legit or Green Bay more fraud-ish?
Both. The Niners are absolutely legit. I don't think the Packers are frauds, but I don't think the Packers are in that top tier. I think the Packers are in that second group after these 3, 4, 5 teams that really have a chance to win a Super Bowl. I have questioned the Packers' offensive line since day one. When Bulaga is healthy, it's as good a pair of bookend tackles as you'll find. But Bulaga is rarely healthy, and Bakhtiari has had injury issues as well. The interior of that offensive line is really soft, and then you turn it around, you can run the football on them. I mean, you know, it's no secret. And unfortunately, it's the one thing the Bears can't do. But with the 49ers, that's another team, and I know that they've come from behind on Arizona a couple times, but if they get in against a first-rate defense, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is good, but I don't know that he has the weapons. So as long as they play on the lead, though, then the 49ers are scary.
What's amazing is that on December 1st, the Niners are at the Ravens. It could be a Super Bowl preview, and it's a noon game. Yeah. It's not even a national game. It's a regional game. How does the NFL allow that to happen?
Well, because they've got nothing but good stuff this weekend. I think the primetime games might be New England and Houston and Minnesota and Seattle. You can't even flex out on Monday night. So, they only flex out if they got a dog on Sunday night. And they've been fortunate so far the way this has gone. It also tends to be based more on TV markets than anything else. And Baltimore is not a huge TV market. The San Francisco, the Bay Area is a top 10 market. So I think that's part of the consideration, too.
With the Dallas Cowboys, I don't have a Jerry Jones Dakota ring. And I think even if I did, I don't know how useful it would be as he talks about Jason Garrett and his future, because it's just whatever he's saying now, and then it changes and whatever. What should happen in Dallas?
I think they probably need a change, Connor. And I got to give Jerry Jones some points on this one. As you guys know, I'm not the Jerry Jones fans, but he has been remarkably patient with Jason Garrett. And there have been signals for a while now that as great a guy as Jason Garrett is, he's one of the nicest men you're ever going to meet. And probably a pretty good offensive mind. I think at this point we have enough evidence to suggest he's not a great NFL head coach. And I think the concern that the Jones has is that his replacement is not on that staff right now. And you know what can happen, you know, when you make a change after a guy who, by the way, has a winning record, you know, over, what is it, 8 years now? But you constantly, it seems like at least once every 3 or 4 Sundays, if not every Sunday, we're talking about something that happened in the Cowboys game. And why did Garrett do that? And I understand Jones's frustration at this point. My guess is, unless they make a run in the play, they got to win a playoff game, I would think, for Garrett to keep his job at this point.
How significant do you think Bears attendance is going to be from here on in? You know, we know that over the years, whatever it means to have people not in that building, whether it's the symbolic importance of it, whether it's the local embarrassment of it, it has mattered to them. Do you think it still does, and do you think it will if, in fact, we get the sort of ennui that sets in?
You know, I think it pretty much depends on the weather, to be honest with you, Dan. As long as it's not too punishing out there, I think fans will go. I don't know anybody who likes going to Thursday night games, but if they beat the Lions Thursday, they'll have a good turnout for the Cowboys. And then, you know, after that, what do you got left? You got Kansas City coming in on Sunday night. Now, you don't want to be there on Sunday night, but do you want to go see Patrick Mahomes? So the schedule is favorable to them in terms of what they've got left. And as long as we don't get some horrible weather, I don't think you'll see a ton of no-shows.
Cincinnati made one little change. It's Andy Dalton going back, which I assume is going to fix all of their issues in the winless season. But does that change in any way potential targets for quarterbacks? I'm not saying necessarily the Bears, but I think we're set for an offseason in which there is more quarterback change than we've seen in a very long time. I wonder if the Bengals are still ticketed for something like that, or if they'd have Andy Dalton returning this week mean that they're happy to have him return next year too.
Well, you know, the Bengals are going to have the number one pick. And even with the injury to Tua, I think Joe Burrow, I don't know where Herbert's at. It's probably going to be a quarterback. I don't think the Dalton move really means all that much. But I do agree with you, Connor. I think we're going to have unprecedented movement at the position. I think Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota are both going to be on the free agent market. Teddy Bridgewater, we know, is going to be on the free agent market. There's some other interesting names. I think what the Bears' plan should be, and probably will be to get one of these younger veterans to come in and compete with Mitch. Because Trubisky is going to be here next year. I don't think, you know, I can't imagine why they'd feel a need to exercise the fifth year. Yeah. But he's going to be here next year. And so my best guess is what I would do if I was in Ryan Pace's chair, and obviously I'm not, is I would take a chance on one of these failed veterans elsewhere, because you know, much like we're asking the questions about Mitch, you know, these guys were great, great prospects, and you can't give up on them that quick. I don't. Winston doesn't do much for me. Anybody who can throw, he's going to throw 22, 23, 24 interceptions this year, and he's in his fifth season. That shouldn't be happening. But I wouldn't be freaked if they brought in Marcus Mariota. Obviously, Mark Helfrich knows him. There's these reports that Ryan Pace loved him coming out of school. He was not a complete bust in Tennessee. He just never put it together. Three different offensive coordinators. You can make a pretty good argument for it being interesting to have Mariota and Trubisky here competing against each other this summer.
I was just looking at the quarterback numbers yesterday, Hub, as we let you go here. Every non-rookie guy who has a starting job has a $17 million attached to him, a $17 million contract attached to him. Will the Bears get to that level? Will there be reticence in getting to that level if you're going out to sign that guy? Marcus Mariota would fit the category of a guy on a non-rookie deal coming into a place to potentially start.
I don't think he's going to get that deal, Connor. I mean, these are guys who are being released because they failed. And so I think you're talking about 1 and 2 year prove-it deals. I mean, I can't imagine giving a multi-year deal. Bridgewater could get one, but I can't imagine Winston or Mariota getting a multi-year deal. Now, you know, the guys do silly things all the time. They're printing money in this league. But I think that you got a shot at getting one of those types of guys on a maybe a 2 year, you know, $20 million with, you know, $14-15 million guaranteed, something like that. And maybe even a 1 year deal. It just depends. You know, I mean, competitors aren't going to be signing these quarterbacks. And so with the teams that are either building or also Rams or teams that are trying to, you know, take that next step, it's fine, you know, to give them a lot of money for 1 year, but they're not going to do multi-year deals. And I just don't think the market's going to be great for these guys. Yeah.
Okay, Hub, we usually get it later in the week, but what do you think of Bears-Lions on Thanksgiving where we don't know who the quarterback is going to be for the opponent?
Well, you know, listen, the Bears are the better team. They just beat these guys a couple weeks ago, not as convincingly as they should have. The short week is the same for everybody. The Lions seem to be more banged up than the Bears, but as you guys know, I do these games for Westwood. I'll be on the sidelines Thursday. And I've been going to these games for the last 10, 15 years in Detroit. Now, the Lions are a different team at home on Thanksgiving Day than they are the other 15 weeks of the season. So it isn't easy. Now, if you're down to the third-string quarterback, then they got a problem. So the Bears are the better team, and I got to assume that they get this done. This is a chance for Mitch to take another step forward. He has been taking baby steps the last few weeks. I haven't really thought much about a score, but I do think the Bears are going to get back to .500 on Thursday.
Wow, look at that. Hub, thanks as always, and don't drop the turkey this year.
All righty,
guys. Thanks, Hub.
That is Hub Arkish. You know, he gave us his he came clean. If you were at his house, what is it, 9 years ago, he deep-fried the turkey, 22-pounder. He dropped it on the floor of the garage and served it to you anyway.
He did the right thing.
I agree.
He did the right thing. Just pick that thing up, serve it up.
So tomorrow at 10:20, thanks but no Thanksgiving on this show, I am soliciting your stories. I want better than that, though. A dropped turkey is fine.
But that's a good appetizer.
Right, accidentally dropped grandpa's head in the deep fryer. You know, that stuff.
That's
stuff
what we want. Bring the main course.
Fun stuff. You know, you're sitting down and all of a sudden a bear invades. You know, we really want the Thanksgiving horror stories told in colorful fashion, descriptively as possible.
Boy, I hope it's not a bear. Mitch should know he's supposed to be in Detroit on Thursday. I mean, that's not a thing you want. Just kind of wandering in, telling you he wants to run more, no huddle.
Hey, I heard there's turkey, and it's really good. And
Go back to Detroit.
I'm really hungry.
You're supposed to play. We know we don't like you, but you're probably the best chance to win still. God, I hate this season.
The Bout of the Hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program is presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn how to get your team on the ice to play during intermission of a Wolves game. They are winners. They are the Wolves. What's the deal with Papa John?
Oh, man, that's getting rough.
What's going on?
It's very
there?
Plasticky.
Yeah, why is he all moist?
How did his voice change?
He looks like one of the androids from Alien, like Ash.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Like when he starts to kind of go, like the white goo starts dripping out of him.
He did say he had 40 pizzas in 30 days. That might have something to do with the sliminess of him.
As a man who's eaten 2 1/4 in about an hour and a half, I can tell you, I felt like I was headed toward that.
I think he's meant he sampled 40 and 30.
He meant 40 pizzas in 30 days.
I don't think so. It's just, but who's interviewing him and why?
I don't know, but Papa that's John, what... that's the wrong biblical verse. 40 pizzas in 30 days is not in Leviticus, man. You're doing the wrong Bible.
It's just all weird. It's true. His voice got. It sounds like he's being played on a slower RPM. I don't.
It's not good.
No.
It's not good. But the truth will
at
come out.
At least he didn't use the N-word. Right?
It's with WDRB Louisville.
Well, the interview got cut off after about 30 seconds.
Yeah, we don't know if he used it or not.
We can't say
for
sure.
He might have. He might have.
Can't say for sure.
Lawrence Holmes waiting in the wings. He is coming up next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks to all who joined us today, Sage Rosenfels, Ben Lindbergh, and Hub Arkish. Jay Zawoski, Mike Chen, and Ray Diaz were the producers. Kevbo, in his Arsenal sweatshirt, had the updates. Tomorrow, Mike Florio will talk football, as will Kevin Fishbane, and...
Yes!
And significantly...
Yes!
At 10:20, you are going to take center stage with your Thanksgiving horror and terror stories. We call it Thanks But No Thanksgiving.
And I'm jugging him. Jugging him. Jugging him.
Yep.
More of that.
What was his name? Willie Murphy?
Yeah, that's it.
Willie Murphy?
She's the best.
She
deadlifts 225.
Something.
She could kick our asses.
And she looks, facially, she resembles the late Elijah Cummings.
Huh.
I get a little vibe of that. That's in her celebrity mix.
I'd have to look it up.
No, look at her. Give her a look and tell me she doesn't have a little bit of Elijah Cummings if he were an 82-year-old living woman bodybuilder foiler of...
No, she'd kick my ass. That much I know.
Well,
he picked the wrong house to break into.
You're damn right he did.
Yep.
Lawrence Holmes is going to do transition with us. We're going to talk to him about stuff and things. So don't go anywhere. You have The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.